Well, the conclusion of the last sermon that I preached a couple weeks ago is actually the introduction to this sermon. And I'm going to reread that passage in the last two verses of the passage from last time that I preached. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You've often heard this saying, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that's a common statement, but it's a true statement. But that's not all the truth that there is about that statement. We're in the world, but not of the world. Our text is about the other half of that. It goes on to talk a little bit more about that, verses 8 through 14 that Warren read. But it's about our calling to be children of the Father of Lights, and that's the title of this message. This message of God's self-revelation that we find in Scripture, it's clearly stated that He is the Father of Light. But also John has said this in 1 John 1:5. This is the message. If this is the only message that gets across from our lives to other people, then this is the message. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. We live in an age of relativism. We live in an age of denial of the existence of absolute truth and so on. We live in an age that everything has to be politically correct, and you can't speak out against sin without being politically incorrect. That's how it is today. And we live in an age where God's revelation of Himself in the Bible is considered to be bigotry, because if it's true, it offends those who worship other gods. But our Father in heaven wants His children to shine. Our Father in heaven wants His children to shine here on the earth. And it's in the midst of these ages, it's in the midst of this kind of attitude that we're confronted in the world system, that we are to shine. We are to shine. Verse 8 here talks about God's nature as light being the line of demarcation. It's the separating line in this world. God has drawn the line, and it's between light and darkness. You know, God ordained light in the beginning of His creation. In fact, His first recorded words, God's first recorded words in Scripture is this, in Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. And then in the ministry of Jesus Christ, in the ministry of His Son, He was the one who was the light of the world. And He starts off His ministry that way. But even before the ministry of the incarnate Christ, John in chapter 1, verse 4, and also verse 9, he talks about God's ministry as light. Jesus has a universal ministry, a ministry to everyone on the planet, and that is in the human heart. Even before He came, He was ministering that way. Because it says in John 1, and verse 4, and also verse 9, and this is out of the New King James Version, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true life, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so we know that Jesus, whether people are Christians or not, the idea of moral light and moral knowledge comes from Christ. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. But when Jesus showed up on the planet in His incarnate state, that's when He said, I am the light of the world. He declared it to be so. He was declaring a truth, not just because He arrived on the planet,
but he had been the light of all men down through the ages before he arrived. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This thing of light is also the point, the line of demarcation that Jesus has drawn, because he also says in his ministry in John 8:12, or actually John 3:19, the 8:12 is the one I just read, John 3:19, and this is out of the New American Standard Version, because I wanted to get more literal of what it's talking about, and there are very little translation in the New American Standard Version. This is the judgment. Jesus declared what the judgment was. This is the judgment. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest as been having wrought in God. This word judgment is a word that means condemnation. That means the verdict, the sentence of a law court. But the word itself, crisis, it comes from the word crisis. It means a decision. It means a process of deciding. And the process of the deciding is when God reveals light, will we come to the light to have our sins exposed and confess them, or will we not confess them and hide from the light? That is the decision, and also that is the judgment. That is the judgment. That is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Well, this verse 8 tells our story. Verse 8 tells our story. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Where were we once? Where were we once? You were once darkness. We were darkness because of sin, because we had sinned, and we were sort of hiding those sins. We were hiding in that darkness. But the Father of light has rescued us. In Colossians 1:13, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son that he loves, Jesus. The Father of light has brought us into the light. Now, where are we now? Where are we now? It says in this passage, now you are light in the Lord. Now, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Jesus has given us a new identity. You'll say, well, we really shine the light. We're not the light. I'm sorry. Jesus says we're the light. He gave us our identity in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light of the world. I thought you were the light of the world. Lord, you said you were the light of the world. He says, yeah, but I'm telling you, you are the light of the world. Because you're going to have to shine me, and it's going to be in you, so you are the light of the world. So what are we to do then with this knowledge that we were once darkness and now we are light? It says in this passage, and this is the main part of this message really, live as children of light. Live as children of light, because if you follow what Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and goes on to say in that passage, you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's a popular praise song, and we don't sing it here, but maybe we need to learn it. Maybe Rosemary can play it a few times, and we'll practice it sometime. Shine, Jesus, shine. How many have heard that one? Shine, Jesus. I see a lot of people over here. Shine, Jesus, shine. I'm going to read some of the verses of that song, or at least one verse, the first verse. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be life. I think that's what we sing to Jesus. But I think the Father of Light wants to turn it around a little bit and sing it back to us. Shine, children, shine. Fill this land with your Father's glory. Jesus, that's what we're to be about. We're to live as children of light. Now, it's the divine nature that God has given to us, this light. He has given us His divine nature that equips us to shine. We can't shine on our own. We need Him. So what identifies us as children of light? It says in verse 9 here, the fruit of light. The fruit is what the light produces. God's light in this world has produced children of light. And we're that fruit. But being that fruit, what does it mean? What does it mean to be that fruit? This passage in verse 9 says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is a good definition. This word goodness means benefit. It means benefit, beneficent, or beneficent. And we need to be servants of the light and produce beneficial service. That's what the word benefit means. It means producing good. It means making good. And we need to do good things. Good. We need to produce good for our society. And any guy is in the form of service to others. And not only that, we look at creation and we say, what did God say after He had made things? It was good. And when He made man, it was very good because we would reflect God's glory. Well, we fell. But Jesus has restored that image just so that we could shine forth and shine in goodness in this world. And then it says, it consists in righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is a commitment to what is right and what is just. And people of God should be known for that. We should be known for our commitment to what is right. And never let anything tarnish that commitment. And it says that it consists in truth. God's truth is never just factual knowledge. God's truth is to be put into practice. In fact, this truth means the living out of spiritual reality. It doesn't mean just to know about it. It means to do it, to put it into practice. William Barclay summed all these things up in such a nice way. He says, the light which Christ brings makes us useful citizens of this world. It makes us men and women who never fail in duty, human or divine. It makes us strong to do that which we know is true. That's what this light does for us, making us children of light. But children of light must grow. Children always grow, right? They grow up, and God wants us to grow up. And part of growth is guidance. In verse 10 it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. We need guidance. It goes hand in hand with raising children. When we think of raising children, it's not just providing clothes for them, it's providing food for them. It's not just in the provision of a shelter for them. It's teaching them. It's guiding them. It's showing them the right way to live. That's what raising children really is. And that's what God is doing for us. He wants us to seek out what pleases Him. Find out what pleases Him. That's our Christian growth. Well, as children must grow, we have to look at this. What makes parents happy? Because, you know, we want to make our parents, as children grow up, we want our parents to be happy. But we want God to be happy too. And so it's what pleases the Lord. And you know what? John said it the best third epistle of John, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. When John said that, he was saying what Father's heart was. Because John was saying, these are my spiritual children, but they're only really loaned to me by the Father in heaven. Because truly, you are children of the Father. And God has no greater joy than to see his children walk in truth. What is the pain in the heart of the prodigal son's father? What is the pain in the heart of the prodigal son's father while he had to wait for the prodigal to return? I tell you what that pain is, and I have a little bit of that pain as I watch some of my older children. Because if they have been exposed, the light has been held over the right pathway. The light has been held for this, for you to walk in this, but the path was not taken. That is painful. That is painful to prodigal son's parents here on the earth, but that is painful to the father's heart. As he holds his life over the path and says, walk in it, walk in it, this is life. This is how we should live. This is everything that I have meant for you and wanted to bless you with. And we don't take that path. That is hard. That is hard. So what makes God happy then when we say, oh God, you've shown me the way, I will walk in it? That pleases the Father. But children also have a duty then. To a family obligation. Since we are children of light, we have a family duty to shine, to really shine. Jesus was the friend of sinners. And yet, what his friendship really was to shine his light on their darkness. He was to shine his light on their darkness so they could get out of it. And so that they could get. When the woman was caught in adultery, he just didn't say, oh, God forgive you, go on your way. No, he said to the woman caught in adultery, go now. Neither do I condemn you. They're not condemning you, and I don't condemn you either. Go now. You're free. But sin no more. So there was light in Jesus. He went right among the sinners. But he showed his light. He showed his light among the sinners. We have the same mission. Jesus said this in his prayer. He said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Take us. He's praying for us. In John 17. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. By the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As the Father was sent, so send I you, Jesus said again in John, at the end of John. And the problem is, many times we don't see ourselves as Christians, that we are on a mission. We have a mission of light. Sometimes we can fail in that mission if we let our light be in the shadows. And Jesus spoke to this as well. When it comes to this passage in Ephesians and says, have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. When we look at that, we think of Jesus' words about us being the light. In Mark, and this also is the King James Version, he says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. It should come to light. Our Father in heaven wants his children on earth to shine. Why? Why? It's because it's shameful. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. And we are that light. We are that light. Oh, this is a hard calling. Oh, it's not politically correct to talk about sin and expose sin. It's shameful. And yet the light does it. The light is not ashamed to expose the sin. Why? So that people who are bound in the darkness of sin can come out and be set free. Not all of them will. In fact, they will kill you for it, like they did Jesus. And they are doing around the world in many lands where missionaries are trying to preach the gospel and they're being martyred for it. or Christians are getting saved and trying to witness to their neighbors and are dying for it. That is a hard saying. That's a hard word. But it's for us not to be ashamed of the light and hide it under a bushel or hide it under the bed and not let it shine. I love this. I've quoted from these people before. It's a couple, and they've written several songs. And in fact, I gave Deborah one of their things for her birthday, I think it was, is Out of the Gray. And they've got a song in one of the last albums that they made called Shine Like Crazy. Shine Like Crazy. And I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing it. What's keeping us from moving? What happened to the passion in our lives? Look, see what he's been doing, stirring up the fire deep inside? We're like diamonds in the dust, but our beauty's covered up. Got to throw the shadows off and catch the light. I know we can shine. Shine like crazy and shimmer like the sun. This is where it gets exciting. When love has struck like lightning, it starts a fire that burns across the sky. I know we can shine. Shine like crazy and shimmer like the sun. God in heaven wants us to shine like crazy. He wants us to shine with all of the passion that he shined with when he walked on this planet. Because he said, I am the light of the world, now you are the light of the world. Now Paul also, I quoted from two songs during this sermon, and Paul also quotes from Psalms, or at least that's what scholars have believed in verse 14, that he was probably quoting from an early Christian hymn that was being popularly sung in the churches in those days, because this is not a quote from Scripture, although it's like a little bit like Scripture, like many of our choruses are. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Paul admonishes the churches of his day, and he admonishes us. Our Father in heaven wants us to shine here on the earth. But God's people can help no one who are lost in darkness if we have allowed darkness to hide our light. And so, come back to your senses, Paul says in another passage. He says, come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning. He says in 1 Corinthians, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. He is really telling us in this passage, wake up, O sleeper, and shine like crimson. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this arousing word. Lord, we need to wake up from any darkness that we're sleeping in, any way that we let our light be covered up, and let it shine. Let it shine. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as a people, as a church, that we would shine in this community of Estacon Village, but that we would also shine in our individual lives as we go our different ways every Sunday to different people that we meet and different situations that we are in. Lord, might your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts to let us shine in whatever way you lead us to do, especially in word and deed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.